things are not okay. That is the starting point of the Christian year. That is the primary focus of the first Sunday of Advent. Things are not okay. On the first Sunday of Advent, we always hear this apocalyptic message of Jesus, of the heavens being shaken, the moon turning to blood, the stars falling from the heavens, the same kind of message that we heard 2 weeks ago at the end of the church year. We begin this church year with that same apocalyptic vision, trying to wake us up to the reality that things are not okay. And to help me connect with that every year in the first week of Advent, I meditate on one of my favorite poems. It's a poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming. And what I would like to do is read to you the first half of that poem. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, and the worst are full of passionate intensity. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, and the worst are full of passionate intensity. I love this poem, and particularly the first half of this poem, because it's true. And I like things that are true. I like this poem, even before, like, the craziness of our current age. There was something about this poem that always rang true to my heart. That even in the good times, that there's a way in which in our world, in our nation, in our community, in our own lives, that things are not okay. There is this disquiet that is true and part of the human experience. And it is this disquiet that is the beginning part of the season of Advent, which begins in darkness with the prayer of Advent being, "Come, Lord Jesus, help us." But for that prayer to have meaning, for the light to have power, it has to shine into darkness, and we have to be honest about the darkness, which is why this Sunday starts with darkness, which we know in our heart of hearts is true. Now, to appreciate the power of the poem and to give it some perspective, it is helpful to understand the historical context of the poem. This poem was written in 1918, 100 years ago, at the end of World War I. Now, the 1900s, it's helpful to remember, began with profound optimism. We were solving everything with science. We were curing diseases and coming up with vaccines that would cure diseases forever. We were starting to drive cars and fly in airplanes and building all kinds of fanciful things that would make our lives easier. And we were certain that the dawn of a new age was upon us, and that all problems could be fixed if we just, like, figured out and do science. And then in 1914, Duke Ferdinand was assassinated in Sarajevo and global alliances kicked in, and all of a sudden there was a war, and these amazing innovations that we created because of our grand ingenuity were turned toward killing one another. And it was the machine gun. It was the machine gun that was the primary invention that changed everything, because with that one thing, one soldier with one finger could kill hundreds in moments. And with that one invention, movement on the battlefield stopped. Everyone dug in and they were stuck in place. So then, because we're smart, we invented mustard gas, which is heavier than air, so it would flow through trenches like rivers and kill people. And it's estimated that 16 million people died in World War I. 16 million people just slaughtered in a battlefield that wasn't moving. 16 million people. I think in the Vietnam War, about 60,000 American soldiers were killed. And that devastated us as a country. 16 million people were killed in World War I. And we realized that these inventions and our advancement as humans didn't really fix the problems in the human heart. The ceremony of innocence was drowned. And then in that same year, the flu pandemic hit, the global flu pandemic hit, where 1/3 of the population of the world was infected, and 50 million people died. It's unfathomable. That level of death and destruction and feeling like there's nothing we can do to fix it, that the world is spiraling out of control and there is no hope for us. We thought we cured all of these problems and they're coming back in like this overwhelming magnitude. Things are falling apart. The center is not holding. Now, part of why I like that poem and its context is, one, I like the poem because it's true and it speaks to my own reality. Things are falling apart. The center is not holding. But it also gives me some perspective. This is not the first time. And by the way, it's not the worst time. It's just our time. We're in this moment right now where things are falling apart and anarchy seems to be ruling the world, and it's scary and it's terrifying and it challenges our vision for the future. And today's gospel reading and Yeats's poem provide two different visions for the future, and we get to pick. Now, the second half of the poem, The Second Coming, describes what's coming from the perspective of William Butler Yeats. And what he sees is this great beast, this horrible, horrific beast that is rising out of the desert with the body of the lion and a human head slouching toward Bethlehem to be born. Like some horrible terror is going to be born out of this. For Yeats, in this time where, like, the world is falling apart, this is the end of humanity. And it feels like that. And we can give into that. But Jesus, in our gospel reading today, provides a different, sort of an alternative view to remind us that God's ways are not our ways, that Jesus' ways are not our ways. Because what Jesus says in this reading, is when it feels like the world is falling apart and the stars are falling from the sky and the moon is turning to blood and everything's going crazy and we're all relating to that right now, what Jesus is saying is be afraid. No, that's not what he said. What Jesus said is stand tall. Lift up your hearts. Because your redemption is drawing near. It's in these moments for us to realize that things are cracking open and falling apart, and that's when God goes, yippee, I can make something new. Because things are falling apart, and our redemption is drawing near. And as people of faith, we get to stand on that. Say, when things are falling apart, realize that the kingdom of God is drawing near. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus is saying in these apocalyptic messages in the gospel reading today. Now, this is the first Sunday of Advent. So we don't get to focus on that. We don't get to focus on the kingdom of God being birthed in our midst today. Because the theme of today is things are not okay. This is the one Sunday of the year where the preacher doesn't have to preach good news. Because the purpose of Advent, the purpose of this particular Sunday in Advent, is for us to just sit in the reality that things are not okay. Things are scary and terrifying, and people are dying. And people are being racked with fear, and people are hating each other, and things are not okay. And the reason that's important for us to sit with this, because the theme of Christmas is light shining in the darkness. And the theme of Advent is anticipation. It's yearning. Like, our job in Advent is to yearn. To yearn for something new, to yearn for something better, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's our job in Advent. The starting point of Advent is things are not okay, and the prayer of Advent is, come, Lord Jesus. Things are not okay. Come, Lord Jesus. The posture of Advent is anticipation. Broken-hearted, yearning anticipation. Things are not okay. And our prayer today and for the rest of this season is, come, Lord Jesus, help us, make all things new, bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.